One issue this year that is not at the forefront of many races is the strong economy. According to a Gallup poll across the country, the share of Americans who say the economy is the country's most important problem is at a near record low of 13%. President Trump had this to say at a rally in West Virginia on Friday.
They all say, speak about the economy, speak about the economy. Well, we have the greatest economy in the history of our country. But sometimes it's not as exciting to talk about the economy, right? Because we have a lot of other things to talk about.
Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from New York. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Jeremy.
Why do you think the economy is not a bigger deal for voters this election?
I think it's a big mystery. I'll offer two answers. First, at the most general species level, human beings have a negativity bias. Negative feelings, bad news, tends to stick with us longer than good news, right? Getting criticized seems to last longer in our minds than receiving a compliment. This is true about the news cycle as well. When in 2008 you had the great financial crash, I think that weighed much more heavily in people's minds than the good economy does today. But second, at a much more specific level, President Trump doesn't really care about macroeconomic stories, which tend to be a little bit more complex and not have clear heroes and villains. He is, by his own account, more interested in stories that have good guys and bad guys. The caravan bad guys versus the border agents, the good guys. Or international trade, where China is the bad guys and our car and steel manufacturers are the good guys. So you put it together, and this election cycle, I think, is suffering from a two-part negativity bias. On a species level, when news becomes good, we tend to sort of think about it less. And then at the Trump level, he is just much more interested in being a cultural warrior than an economic critic.
We often hear that the party in power has a tougher time in a midterm election. But what does the research tell us about what a strong economy tends to mean for the party in power in a midterm?
So I went back and I looked at some analysis from J.P. Morgan, and this stat just really struck me. In all but three midterm elections since 1910, the president's party lost House seats in the midterms. So the GOP losing seats would not be unusual at all this year. What would be really, really weird, though, is the GOP getting crushed at a time of rising wages and low unemployment. That doesn't tend to happen. What tends to happen is that you do see the party in power lose power in the midterms, but those losses are mitigated by a strong economy. What seems to be happening, and again, we'll see what happens in 24, 48 hours. No one should be making predictions about elections given the last few cycles. But what a lot of people are predicting is a blue wave that is much stronger than macroeconomic conditions would otherwise predict.
What about for a president? How much does a president's approval rating have to do with the state of the economy?
Well, the president does not control the economy. The macroeconomy of the United States is much bigger than one man. But macroeconomics does often predict presidential approval. As unemployment drops, a president's approval rating tends to rise. And indeed, unemployment in the U.S. has been under 4% for almost the entirety of Trump's presidency. What's also really interesting is that presidents tend to get higher approval – this is important – from the opposition as the employment rate falls. What we've seen in the last 2 years, though, is the opposite. The unemployment rate has steadily fallen. We've created jobs. The last jobs report was really fantastic from the BLS. But Trump is getting more and more unpopular with Democrats. So again, at the party level and at the Trump level, what we're seeing is a bit of a schism where macroeconomic conditions are going in one direction and the Republican Party and Donald Trump's approval rating is going in the other. And that is, to be clear, historically unusual.
Also worth pointing out that, you know, as we talk about the booming economy, there are still a lot of places in this country where the economy is not booming. And I think we're going to find out tomorrow which places feel really good about things and which places maybe don't feel like things have gotten better as fast as they would
like. I agree with that.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thank you so much.
Thank you.